So last week we were talking about how the Beis Din HaGadol will get close to being able to see Torah Shebaal Peh as the meaning of Torah Shebichsav. Where what happens? Torah Shebichsav becomes their formulation, right? But that never occurs for them. So why doesn't it occur for the Beis Din HaGadol? What?
What are you saying?
Why does it never occur for the Beis Din HaGadol that, in other words,
think
of what you do when you're seeking a svara, right? You're seeking, you're studying halacha, you're seeking the principle, right? You're seeking, what is the principle from which all of these halachas flow? You're always seeking some sort of principle which can explain and can tell you, okay, that's why you're seeking higher clauses. In other words, why is the halacha like this, right? In other words, oh, the halacha is like this because of this principle. We're always seeking higher and higher principles to be able to explain everything, right? So, okay. But the highest way of formulating those principles is what's expressed in Torah Shebichsav, right? The words of Torah Shebichsav is the highest way. It's the highest way of expressing. If you wanted to sum up all of Hilchos Sukkah, Yeshiva B'Sukkah, the best way to sum that up would be Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamim, right? So that would be the best formulation. For us, in other words, for us, it's not sufficient to just say those words and then we'll be able to, paskin every Shiloh from that. So not everything is going to pop just from our understanding of that. Right? So why is that? Why are we limited in that way? Why can we never get to that point?
You really don't understand what that means. Is that what you mean?
But why is that? Why can't we get that? Why can't we get there? What's holding us back? Is he a Yisod? It's one of the Yisodi Hadas.
We're not
as great as Moshe in a specific way.
We will never attain the transmission level that he had or else we could argue with the Torah.
Exactly. In other words, we will never be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. And the Torah is only given through Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So in other words, we'll never reach that point where Torah Shebichsav will be the Pesach for us. What is Torah Shebichsav? That is the highest formulation. In other words, all Perush, every halacha can be shown, of course, in Deraisa, not in Derabanan, right? But every halacha can be shown to emerge from Torah Shebichsav. Even to the point where if you forget a halacha, what are you able to do? You're able to figure it out, right? What was his name? So for Moshe Rabbeinu, for what is for us Torah Shebichsav, we're in called mitzvah, right? So it was because Pesach emerged from that for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? In other words, you saw the words Basukah Stage, Shivas Yamin, and from there Pesach, what do you do on Sukkot, emerged. In other words, his knowledge, his understanding of the pasuk was completed by the parish. It became a complete understanding. It wasn't that there was no limitation. There was no lack in that understanding. Based on the Gadol, there'll always be a separation between their understanding and the formulation of Torah Shebichsav.
Yeah.
Well, when I say principles, I think of the Rambam, right? So I think they say Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamim. So you want to say, I can't. Every Gadol tries to, reproduce to a certain degree what the correct principles are. You take the Rambam, right?
Yeah.
So the Rambam, so where does he put Hilchos Sukkah? So first of all, the Hilchos Sukkah is grouped with two other areas. The halachas of Lulav and halachas of Shofar. First Shofar, then Sukkah, and then Ruach. So first of all, the Moshe Rabbeinu must have seen some interconnect between those mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now those mitzvos have a position in a larger sphere of principles. In other words, all of these halachos, they're all expression of the idea that the Rambam calls zmanim, right? Certain set times, things that occur at set times. And there's an idea behind that. The Rambam expresses that in a pasuk, right? So the pasuk is nachalti eid vosecha li'olam kisasam li'behema. So obviously the Rambam is pointing to the fact there's an idea of eidus. There's something pointing to, there's an idea here pointing to Hashkachas Hashem, and the idea of Sasum Bihema, and the idea of Simcha. So there's clearly, so in other words, those things will express themselves as being principles that all of the halachos and Sefer Zmanim will all be expressions of. So imagine for Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, when Hashem said to him, Basukos Teishu Shivas Yamim, in other words, those were not just empty words, those fit into a larger framework, in other words, you see how the Rambam works. In other words, Zman is not isolated as well. Zman is part of a larger Yad HaChazaka, right? In other words, this entire Sefer, which leads us to to the perfected lifestyle. Right? All these things are integrated and fit together. In other words, see the Rambam's layout. You can imagine Moshe Rabbeinu would be something qualitatively superior, but you can already see just from the Rambam what it might be similar to. It would be almost a metaphor for us of what
was he given, like, was he given, like, the philosophical idea behind it?
Well, those are, philosophical idea. I mean, those are, in other words, if,
just to know that this action brings a person to a certain idea, you have to know, when you have to know, like, the philosophical idea that it brings you back to.
In other words, these were all integrated into higher and higher principles of, you know, in other words, did these things all fit into the most perfected, lifestyle of the human being? All these things fit into, in other words, there are higher and higher systems of understanding these mitzvahs. I mean, eventually the highest principles become areas that are, you know, Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava, right? But that's what Rambam points to in the beginning.
So now I understand it differently. Maybe I'm not sure which one. In fact, I couldn't be understanding both of those things. It's a black box.
The mitzvahs of the Torah must go along with the idea of Chachma. And there must be the idea of Chachma along with the mitzvos, otherwise they're not mitzvos Hashem. Right? Or it's the, but that's a separate idea. Yishayahu, the idea of Ruach Chachma, Ruach, you know, these things, the mitzvos must express Chachma. If they don't express Chachma, then they're not mitzvos Hashem. Then as Yishayahu calls them, they're mitzvos Anashim Alumada. They're just rote performances which are meaningless. The mitzvos must have meaning. Otherwise they're not mitzvos. Right, that's also why, based on the Gadol's understanding, that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is, not our understanding. Our understanding is, we can see Maisei Mitzvah. Right? I know my father told me this is what I do, I sit in the Sukkah. But that's what Torah Shebaal Peh is all about. That's not what Torah is about. Torah is about Chachma. Right? There must be, the idea of Chachma must go along with the idea of Mitzvah. And Moshe Rabbeinu must have, in other words, for Moshe Rabbeinu, this was pure expression of Chachma. Right? Which for us, we just read Basukah Stachah Shivas Yamim, it seems to be something very mundane. The Moshe Rabbeinu, this fit into an entire system of Chachma. Right? And for Moshe Rabbeinu, this was a component part of the Chachma system. Right? But the simpler point, right, is the idea of, in other words, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the way that I would put it, it's hard to give examples because we're not Moshe Rabbeinu. But it would seem that for Moshe Rabbeinu, Shach emerged from what us is called Torah Shebichtav. In other words, those formulations, which for us became Torah Shebichtav, that was the source of Shach for Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, when he passed into Shaila, from where did it emerge? It emerged from his complete understanding of the Mikra, right, of the Pasuk. Right? For us, we'll never reach a complete understanding. In other words, Talmud Torah is the Peirush of Torah Shebichtav, but we'll never reach the point where it's absolutely mefurash, it's completely and absolutely clear to us. So our Pesach will always emerge from the Torah Shebaal Peh, a Torah Shebaal Peh formulation. Whereas you see, the Rambam, he has a koteret, right? He has a little title where he says what the mitzvah is. He doesn't use the same Lashon as the Pasuk, and rightly so, because he realizes that For the Rambam, the Pasuk is not going to crystallize for him the concept. He's going to have a lower formulation, right? That's in the Koteret, right? In other words, it has to be formulated in a different way. It'll be similar to the Pasuk, right? But it's going to have to be different for him. It's going to have to be different for us, right? It can't be the same as the Pasuk, and it's not going to be, that will not do it for us. It'll do it for Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Yeah. There is one difficulty. There's going to be different things that have to be There's going to be different things that he's going to have to be informed of in Torah Shebaal Peh. That's for sure. Well, for one thing, there's something called the Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. In other words, which will never emerge. You'll never be able to see that emerging from a pasuk. The fact that tefillin are black, you'll never be able to see that emerging from any word of Torah Shebaal Peh. Right? But it's an interesting process to go through to delimit with those things with Moshe, but it's sort of going to be almost a fruitless process because we could go on and on. In other words, it seems like you're right. In other words, those halachos you cannot see, you know, there'll be some halachos which will be somewhat more, I mean, can't say they're arbitrary, but some more remote from the immediate meaning of the word. And for those, obviously, we would need more payers for. But I think the Rambam gives an example, right? It says, Al Zacharim Velol in the Kedron. Seems the Pasuk, just reading the Pasuk itself, you wouldn't know for sure that it was Al Zacharim Velol in the Kedron. So it's only for men and not women. Right? Even though, you could say, Basuka's Teshu, right? Because it's, right? In other words, Teshu could include women as well. Right? But now the Moshe Rabbeinu was told, now he sees, okay, that's how the Pasuk expresses it, and, oh yeah, that fits into that principle, right? In other words, there's going to be pirush is necessary to delimit the possibilities of what the mikra can mean, and also to bring you to understandings which never could have emerged from that first step, and only could have been in the. In other words, why were some things left to be pure? No, that's halacha moshe mi-Sinai. Why was it done in that way? I'm not sure. It's a good question. Why is there such a thing as halacha moshe mi-Sinai? I'm not sure. But, yeah. You see, it must be true that Tereshit Baal Peh must contain all Tereshit Baal Peh except for the axiomatic principles of Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, because if it wasn't the case, then you couldn't be Mechadish new halachos from Tereshit Baal Peh. In other words, the idea, you can do the Yud Gimel Midos. Of course, the system we use to see it from Tereshit Baal Peh had to be given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Chazdei Hashem that we have, the Chachamim were given a system, they're given these 13 principles where they could read the Tarshah B'Tzav in a certain way and see halachos emerge from it. They could see the new halachos emerge, right? Or halachos that might have been forgotten, right? So, but in other words, that must be the case. In other words, but the point is, our payers never reaches the level of perfection and completion. For Moshe Rabbeinu, the payers completed the understanding of Tarshah B'Tzav, right? And therefore, the Tarshah B'Tzav, in a sense, was his source of Tzak, right? The halakha emerged, the mitzvah, that's why it's called mitzvah. Or that's why for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's mitzvah with perish, and for us, we have Tereshit Baal Peh, in other words, the first part for us is always going to be a kriya. In other words, what's the idea of a kriya? In other words, it's not our words, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's words. We could just read them over again. Right? And then what do? We have a perish. And from the perish, then we can know the, from there, our formulations are always going to be not quite Tereshit Baal Peh, but always in the realm of Tereshit Baal Peh. Right? Those are the formulations of the basic Haggadah. Okay? Well, there's a bunch of concepts. So, remember, we have to remember our aim here. Our aim here is to write certain ideas about, we're still talking about Tereshit Baal Peh. In other words, understanding of the basic concepts in the Masorah. So the Masorah, in other words, one thing about the Masorah is it's not just a purely conceptual thing like mathematics. It's their thing, in other words, the Masorah is in the hands of the Chachamim. So it's important to know something about the way that the method of transmission, how this was transmitted through the Chachamim, door after door, right? Generation after generation. Because there were certain things that occurred in Jewish history that are very important to the way that we relate now to Tereshit Baal Peh. In other words, the way that we relate to Tereshit Baal Peh has not remained the same, right? In other words, the way that we go about knowing Tereshit Baal Peh has changed over time. Tereshit Baal Peh has not changed, but the way that we have to relate to Tereshit Baal Peh has changed, right? So the Rambam goes on. So he says that there's Kol HaTorah. Ready to see where we are? Kol HaTorah Kasva Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah Kasva Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah. Can we see that?
Where
exactly is it? It's, so the entire Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote down before he died in his own handwriting. And he gave a sefer to every single shaykh. Okay. The sefer echad, the new aron leit. And one sefer he put into the aron, or put next to the aron, as a testimony. Shneamar, lakoloch sefer Torah zos, v'samtem oso, mitzad aron bris Hashem elokeichem, yesham v'chalei. Right? So take the sefer Torah, and place it next to the aron, the covenant of Hashem, your God, and it'll be there as a testimony. What? Yeah, I think we talked about it. In other words, that the... In other words, this is one of the Yisrael Yadas. In other words, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, there would never be a Torah like that. And it's, in other words, where does it gain its authority? In other words, the Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That it always has to, the Chesav Yadav. In other words, it's defined by Moshe Rabbeinu. Tereshit Baal Peh is another matter. That's not, it begins with Moshe Rabbeinu, but Tereshit Baal Peh is always going to be defined by the Baal Masorah. Okay, so then he says, that's the next thing he says. The Amitzvah, notice he's using that word again, right? Shehi Peirush Torah lo kasva. So the Peirush Torah that wasn't written down. Eletziva Balazikanim, we have Yeshua, the Lashon Kol Yisrael. They commanded it to the Zakenim and Yeshua and the rest of the Jewish people. Shema is called the Varasha and Okim Tzav Yashem Otsot Tishmu Lasehus. So all the things that I command you to, you should keep to do. Lo so si falav, lo si grami menu. Can't add on to it, and you can't, subtract from it. Right? Okay. So in other words, there was a idea, right, that he gave over the mitzvah to them. Mitzvah and Nikra is Torah about that. Because of this, it's called the oral law. In other words, because he commanded them, it wasn't written down. In other words, what's the idea of writing? In other words, it always goes back to the authority. In other words, where does it gain its authority? Where does Torah Shabbat gain its authority? Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? That's the only place where it gains its authority. Where does Torah Shabbat Peh gain its authority from? Where does it gain its status as Torah Shabbat Peh? Mm-hmm. From the Zakenim. In other words, from the current Bali Masora. Right? Okay, so Apa Pi Shalom Nichtava Torah Shabbat Peh. So even though the Torah Shabbat Peh was never written down, so he's very focused on this point. Linda Moshe Rabbeinu Kula, the Beis Dino, the Shivu Zakein. So Moshe Rabbeinu taught the whole thing to, his Beis Din, to the 70 elders. Elazar, Pinchas, Yeshua, Shalashtam, Kibbutz, Moshe. And Elazar and Pinchas, right, those three, they received it from Moshe. Well, Yeshua, Shu Talmido, Shalom Moshe Rabbeinu, Masar Tar Shabbat Peh, Vitzivah Walab, Aleha. Yeshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he gave over, so notice there's two Lashonos here. Masar Tar Shabbat Peh, Vitzivah Walaha. And so he gave him over to Shabbat Peh, and he commanded him on it. Or he appointed him on it. The king Yeshua, Koy Mechayim, Limeid Al Peh. And Yeshua also, all of his days, he learned orally. Okay. Alright. It was a kingdom Yeshua, and many elders received it from Yeshua. And Eli received from the elders and from Pinchas. Okay, so here we basically, the Rambam goes through about 400 years in the Brit Benayim, right? So he doesn't list all of the Zakenim. That's an interesting thing. But, many Zakenim received from Yahushua, and Eli received, from the Zakenim and from, Pinchas. Now, there was a span of time of about 400 years from, I think from Yitzias Mitzrayim, to perhaps from Yitzias Mitzrayim or Knesset Haaretz, till this point, because, in Sefer, what do you call it, in Malachim, right, so when Shlomo builds the Migdash, so he says that how many years have passed, and it's 400 something. I forget the exact number, right? So in other words, less than 400 years have passed by, but it's between 300 and 400, so it's a lot of time. So Eli received from this Canaan man from Pinchas. So clearly Pinchas must have lived for a considerably long amount of time. Okay, so that's just a side note to notice. It's an interesting question. Why does the Rambam do that? I don't have an answer, but why does the Rambam not why does he say the Zakenim Rabbim kibbutz mi Yeshua and kibbutz Eli min Zakenim mi Pinchas, right? In other words, the rest of the way he says every step of the Masora. Here is sort of glosses over it. The Zakenim they receive from Yeshua and Eli receive from the Zakenim and Pinchas. What happened?
And then it says the rest of the people after that.
And then it goes the other. I mean, it could be that Pinchas is he's the one who crosses over. In other words, since Pinchas is there from all along, it's enough to say that Eli received from the Zakenim and Pinchas. So I'm not sure. I don't know if Pinchas Eli received from the Zakenim and Pinchas. Right, from Pinchas. Right? So, now Pinchas, we know, was alive during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, that would cover a span of about 300 years. I don't know if he was the Nasi of the Beis Din that entire time. He must have been pretty old. You know, 300 something. Right? So, he must have been pretty old. But I'm not sure why the Rambam does that. The only possibility is, because Pinchas, crosses over that entire time period.
Why say Zakenim?
So why say Zakenim? In other words, I guess to show, in other words, there was a... That's a good question. It seems that there was a whole... he doesn't want to completely gloss over the whole chain of transmission. And I'm not sure. I'm not totally sure. Yeah? So, Right, so let's remember that question. The what were the two things that Moshe Rabbeinu said to did to Yehoshua? Right, says he gave him a masar tershav alpeh, dipsivah alpeh. Right, that's important. We have to come back to that. I mean, what are those two things? Right, why are there two things? What are they? Right, precisely. What's masar and what's tzivah? What? It's interesting. In other words, if you have shivim, right, so you have the shivim zakenim, and you have right. In other words. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't only get, he gave over to Shimon Zakenim. He gave it to Elazar, Pinchas, and Yehoshua. Right? So now, and Yehoshua, the student of Moshe Rabbeinu, gave over to Tershav Alpeh, Ditzivah Wala. Masar Tershav Alpeh, Ditzivah Wala. Now the thing is, in other words, so it sounds like he was, more in charge, so to speak. Right? Like he was, so let's say he was the, he was the head of the, he was the head of the Masara. But what is that? In other words, if they all know the Tershav Alpeh, right? In other words, none of these people were slack-offs, right? All these people were people who I'm sure received it very well from Moshe Rabbeinu, and they all were work contenders. They all knew it very well. So what is this to say that in other words, why do we have one person who is sort of isolated, like he's commanded on it? What's necessity? Does that have a base din of we need 71 so you can have the vote, right? What is that? So it seems that it's pointed to this idea that there's the anasi, in other words, the person in charge, right? But what is that idea? Why do you need a person who's in charge? Yeah. That's here what he does. We're just going from here for now before we get into it. The Chin Yehoshua Kol Yehoshua we made all path, right? So there does seem to be a difference. In other words, what's the difference between Yehoshua and the others? What's the idea of the person who's in charge? What's his job that distinguishes him from the other ones? There seems to be an idea that... What?
He's the final say.
He's the final say?
He's the...
Or they still have to vote. It's still operating out of
the
office.
He's the highest level authority.
No, but there is no greater authority. It's the way that it based and makes decisions is if there's a machlokas, they take a vote. It goes operating out of the machlokas. Right? It goes by the majority decision. Right? So it's, right? Democracy, right? It's really an aristocracy, right? What?
Is he the one who has to pass it on?
What does that mean? That he passes it on?
He's the one who has the responsibility for disseminating the...
Doesn't everybody have a responsibility to, I see what you're saying, right? So what is that? And what Rambam calls it, is we made all path. He taught all path. It seems in some way, right, it seems in some way like, I mean, to put it in very simple terms, he was the one who gave shir, right? In other words, when you have a whole bunch of Talmidei Chachamim, who gives shir, right? Who's going to give the shir, right? Who's going to teach? But what was he teaching? They couldn't have forgotten that fast. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu just taught them, and they're all tremendous Talmidei Chachamim. You get a bunch of Talmidei Chachamim together, right? He wasn't teaching them Aleph-Base, right? He wasn't saying, okay guys, you gotta know Sukkah, this is what Sukkah, no, they knew Halakha pretty well, right? They knew it, you can't say perfectly, they knew Halakha, right? What's he teaching them, right? In other words, what do you need? I understand, so they sometimes need to make a new decision, so they'll vote, right? So is he just the arbitrator? You need somebody to make sure that they're all, they're not fighting too much, because, right? Jews, they like to fight a lot, they can't stop arguing, there's a little quiet guy now, there's a little gavel. Is that what he's doing?
Ability to make it clear in their head, like whatever problem there is.
But they're brilliant people. In other words, so
and
what,
he wants to fire.
Why, is he necessarily wiser?
Yeah.
So he should be the wisest.
Not necessarily.
Why not necessarily? I'm not sure. Maybe.
That's what I'm saying, not necessarily.
No, you're sure.
It's not so much that he was necessarily the wisest one there.
That's it.
We know that Moshe chose him.
Right. Only Kosh Baruch Hu would know that he's the wisest.
Okay, you know what? Forget that he's the wisest.
It is true.
He had all Laha clear in his head.
What? Well, it's true. Kosh Baruch Hu did say to Moshe Rabbeinu that Yehoshua should be the one that you appoint to be the next leader of the people. So there's a difference
between... But we don't know what the deciding factor is.
But there's also a difference
between being...
The leader of the people is not always the same thing as the Nasi of the Sanhedrin.
Yeah, like, would you say that a person who is a perfect teacher is going to be the best leader for the world? I mean,
well, is it based on? And
I know, so
I'm
what
not sure
are your
based on?
My
right?
point is, what are your criteria for a leader?
Okay,
God knew what his criteria were,
yeah, but
and
this,
he said that
this is not about leading the people. This is about leading, or this is about leading the Sanhedrin, right? In other words,
yeah.
And we know from, I mean, maybe it's arguable, was this a good thing or a bad thing? Throughout Jewish history, you have a Melech, you have the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, you have a Kohen Gadol. There's different positions for different things. In other words, he's not necessarily going to be, and it's true, later on, after Bais Sheni was destroyed, so the Nasi of the Sanhedrin also became the leader of the Jewish people, right? So, you're basically saying that the decision of who the Nasi should be, you're saying, which is reasonable, you're saying that decision should be based on a consensus. I mean, of course, here Moshe Rabbeinu made the decision. We're saying in the future, how you decide who's the Nasi, the consensus of who people think is the wisest. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of.
Okay. Yeah. So you're saying this is an idea of smichas. How does that help us, that we're calling it smichas?
Well, smichas is, this maybe...
It's hard to say from here. We have very little...
Sure. Yeah.
We might have to look in Hilchos Sanhedrin or in Hilchos Mamrim to get a little bit more... A little more, ammo to, some more clues to determine what this is, right? It's very hard for me. It just says, right. And he taught them all path. So it's very hard to say, what is that, right? You need one guy to teach everybody? These guys are brilliant people. So why can't everybody take turns giving shir? Also, what did they give shir on? Right, well, what was the shir on? Right, what did they do? Did they clarify more?
Are you saying that they understood it perfectly?
No, I'm not saying they understood it perfectly. But I want to know, what would they give? I was saying it was the furthering of the frontier of their knowledge. What did he taught them all path? What did he teach them? No, I'm just saying, I give one possibility, maybe that's shir.
And then we have to give shir.
So they have big chavrusa, so what's the idea that Yoshua, Kol Yimei we made all path, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu was Maser Torah Al Peh, Vitzivalala. Right? What is that? The Nasi doesn't have more of a say than the other people in the Sanhedrin. If they want to make a decision, they take a vote, and it goes off Ari Rabin.
So then I guess
people listen to what? We want to know. Here's a term for this. It's called the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. What is the Nasi of the Sanhedrin? What does that do? Right? In other words, it's a question about the Sanhedrin. So we could put this question on hold for that, come back to it.
Oh, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, is there any difference?
What? I believe there is.
There is
what? We have to find the clue. We have to look through the Rambam and see what is the uniqueness of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. That's certainly important. And that also leads us into more of a clarification of what is Torah Shabbat Peh. And at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, which we should also do, which is where the Rambam defines Torah Shabbat Peh. He says it gives more of a definition of Torah Shabbat Peh. Right? So, here he defines it, and then he talks about, you can define things in numerous ways. Right? So he gives another definition of it in Hilchos Mamre. So we should do that as well. So maybe we'll pick up next time with that point, but we can still do a little bit more today. We'll pick up with the big point, that big point next time.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do a little bit more here in the Rambam.
In which one?
Alright, also you see the Rambam from now on. Whenever he says Ushmuel, right? So remember, everybody remembers the story in Tanakh. Shmuel is the student of Eli, and he received it from Eli and Beis Dino. Notice that the David he dealt with Shmuel, who Beis Dino. In other words, what does the Rambam keep adding here? This idea of the Beis Dino. In other words, they received it from this. The Rambam seems to be isolating the Nasi of the Sanhedrin, right? So, and they received it from Eli and his Beis Dino. There's an idea of two players. There's the Beis Din and there's the person. Right? So, it's interesting when it says who Eli received it from, it said he received it from the Zakenim and Pinchas. It doesn't say anything about a Beis Din. Okay, now, but when we go on, the rest of the way, it works that way. Okay, so then Eliyahu got it from Achiyahu Shiloni, Beis Dino. It goes on and on throughout, basically, it takes us through Nevi'im, Rishonim, and the Nevi'im who were after the Korban Bias. Okay, and then we get up to Ezra who Beis Dino, Kibbul and Baruch who Beis Dino. Everybody see that? Right, Baruch was the student of Baruch ben Neria. Right, was the student of Yirmiyahu. Right, and Ezra received it from Baruch. Right, everybody see that? So Ezra Beis Dino, Kibbul and Baruch who Beis Dino.
Trying to get there.
Right here.
That?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it says Beis Dino shall Ezra. Now Ezra is very important in Sarah. So why is Ezra so important?
He was last, wasn't he?
No.
But, no,
he wasn't last. Now, why is Ezra so important?
He had a bunch of rules.
He had a lot of tekanos. So why have to make a whole bunch of tekanos? What happened? There was something in history.
Oh, they wrote it down?
They went to Beis
HaMikdash. You don't have to guess. The was after the Korban. So that, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Mm-hmm. Right? And who was the charge of Sanhedrin then? Seems that Yirmiyahu was. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You have Sefer Yirmiyahu, Kinos, right? Right? And then, so there was Yirmiyahu, then there was Baruch, right? So that continued throughout the 70 years of the Galus, when the people were living in Persia and Babel, right? And Ezra was the one when they came back from the Galus to Eretz Yisrael, they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. So now Ezra had a big problem on his hands, right? He had to, in other words, now he has this people, he has to educate them. In other words, education wasn't so great in the Galus. In other words, many things that he has to sort of restart these people, right? These people are coming from Babel, right? There's many problems that he had to deal with. He had to deal with intermarriage, he had to deal with lack of learning, he had to deal with many, many issues, right? So now, all Ezra's tikkunos I can't summarize what the highest principle of all his tikkunos came down to, but a lot of his tikkunos dealt with, in other words, the education of the people. In other words, how are we going to uplift the level of this people coming back from the Galus?
So right? He sort of instituted a methodology of Masorah transmission?
I'm not saying a methodology. He made many tikkunos, right? There was the famous tikkunos of Ezra, Tila, right? And before, the biggest, one of the biggest that stands out in my mind, Tila. In other words, before Ezra, Tila was something that every individual did in their own way. No such thing as a minion, right? No such thing. Right, there couldn't be a minion because there was no such thing as an appointed time for tefillah. He needs man and kavua. Or maybe tainus. Yeah, so then they would have an idea that everybody would get together. You know, but in terms of tefillah, there was no idea of three tefillahs, the formulation of the tefillahs, the 18 brachos of tefillah. Right, the brachos, all brachos goes back to all the ideas of brachos goes back to Ezra. And what are all these ideas? What are they focused around? The idea of Lifnei Hashem. In other words, what was destroyed, what do they have to relate to now? Beis HaMikdash, right? So in other words, there's the idea of how are we going to uplift the people's notion of what it means to be with Nei Hashem? What's the idea of Shechina? What's the idea of Mikdash? Those were the core. In other words, what's Birkas Hananin? You don't do Birkas Hananin, it's Mi'ilah. In other words, it's stealing from the Mikdash. In other words, these things were to uplift the people such that they can really be Ra'oi to Mikdash. They should be on the level of perfection that they can have in Mikdash. This is very important, right? It's important to say for it to learn. Right? Yeah.
During
the first Mikdash, pretty much all Bnei Israel lived in Eretz Israel. I'm sure there were some settlements outside of Eretz Israel. After the Galus, after Korban HaBayis HaRishon, and even after the second Beis Mikdash was built, there was the community in Babel continued. There was the whole time that the Bayis Sheini. There's also a community, there's a parallel community in Babel, which had its own Chokhamim and its own learning, right? Yeah. So Hillel, he came from Babel, right? He saved the Masorah, right?
When did the Tanaya?
From Ezra? Well, we're about to see, because we'll see what the chain of the transmission was, right? Because Ezra, so he was the beginning of what was called the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah. Right, so it was 120 members. Didn't necessarily all live exactly at the same time, right? But it was sort of a large group, and they were Nevi'im, right? So he says a few of them. Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Right, these were all Nevi'im, right? Nechemiah, Ben Chakriah, Mordechai. We all know Mordechai is Zerubbabel. He led the people. V'harbe, Chachamim, Yimahim, Tashul, Mehav, Esrim, Zekim. 120. Very important group. Okay. So Achra, Mehem, Hu, Shimon, Atzadik. So the last one, right, was Shimon HaTzadik. Ruay Mechlala HaMeyavashim, he was one of the 120. The Kibbutz Torah Shabbat Pan Mikulan. In other words, he was really a student of everyone, right? Or he sort of, in a sense, he sort of joins everyone together because he was a student of all 120. There's a lot of learning to him, right? So Ruay HaKohen Gadol Achar Ezra. And he was a Kohen Gadol after Ezra. Okay, and here's where the Masorah, we start getting up to date in terms of the Mishnah. Yeah.
At this point, the Masorah is entirely intact in the oral way. There's no
right. It was all oral transmission.
How did the general populace know halacha?
It seemed they had teachers, right? Kohanim, right? Levim, right? Or people who wanted to teach. It seems that that was the main...
Yeah, transmitted the idea.
And also in Sefer Ezra, we see that Ezra set up teachers as well. It was a whole movement, education movement.
So even the other Sakhalach was never written down.
Right. Now, people could write notes for themselves. Rambam will talk about that in a moment. But then here's where the transmission moves up to date. Right? So here, basically, Antigonus Ishtelchos, so here we see from his name that the Greeks were in charge, right? It was a Greek name. Okay. So go from Ezra to Shimon to Antigonus Ishtelchos. That's how you also remember that Alexander the Great, around that time was when he conquered, right? So the Greeks had their influence. Okay, so go Ezra, Shimon, Antigonus Ishtelchos. Now, after Antigonus Ishtelchos, there were four pairs of individuals. They were called the Zugos. Right? So, one was the Nasi, and one was the Abbesim. Really, there's two positions. The Nasi was the highest position, and the one right below him is the Abbesim. There's two official positions in the Sanhedrin. Okay, so then, so basically the way that you remember it, there are four pairs. You don't have to remember their names. You know that there are four pairs. They received from Antigonus Ishtelchos. Then you have Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Treda, and Yosef ben Yochanan, Ish Yerushalayim. So they're both named Yosef. And they're based in. They received from Antigonus. After them, you have Yehoshua ben Prachya and Asaihar David. Then you have Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetta. And then you have Shemaya ben Talion. Okay? So the two Yosefs, Yehoshua and Nasai, that's two. Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, that's three, and Shmaya ben Talion, that's four.
They were still Nevi'im, right?
No.
Because I thought that Shmaya and Zakim overlapped with the last Nevi'im.
Shmaya
and Zakim.
Maybe he was that old, you mean? Maybe, I don't know.
I thought I heard that in...
Chagai and Zakai Malachi were the last of the Nevi'im. I'm not sure, I'll have to look into that. Then we have those four groups, and then after Shammai and Atalion, then the names become familiar. But who comes after that? Hillel and Shammai. Okay? So Hillel and Shammai, and they're based in, received from Shammai and Atalion. Okay. And now, here we go. And his other Levi, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai received, and Rabbi Shimon, his son, the son of Hillel, received from Hillel and Beis Dino. But here's where it becomes, something to remember, right? So just, factually, so an easy way to remember a certain fact. So, first of all, Yochanan ben Zakkai, only for a short time, was the Nasi. But basically, Hillel had a son. His name was Shimon. What was Shimon's son's name?
Reuben.
Gamliel, right? Mm. So his son was Gamliel, and his son was Shimon. Okay? So in other words, so we had Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. So those were the last 100 years of the second base of Mikdash. Those four individuals... Right, so let's find the Gemara where it says it. But those four individuals, so you had Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon. Those are the last four Nisim, the last 100 years of the Beis HaMikdash HaShemi. And now after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so who led the Jewish people at first? Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? Even though he received it from Hillel, Yochanan ben Zakkai obviously was very old at the time. He led the people, said, let's go to Yavne, right? And but after a couple of years, who did he make the Nasi? Well, you want to keep the tradition. In other words, because it was Hillel and his son Shimon and his son Gamliel and his son Shimon. So Shimon, guess what his son's name was?
Gamliel.
And he was called Gamliel Yavne. And Shimon or Gamliel Yavne. Right? Because he then became the Nasi of whereas Yochanan ben Zakkai gave up his position as Nasi.
Rabban Gamliel?
Is that the one we call Rabban Gamliel?
Well, I know there were several Rabban Gamliels.
He's one of the big Rabban Gamliels that you hear about, right? A lot of stuff happened to him and his based in Yeshua. There's a lot of interesting stories, all very important stories actually in understanding ideas in the Torah, right? So we'll try to do some of those Gemaras. But in terms of remembering these historical facts, so you want to remember Ezra, very important. Ezra gave it to Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik gave it to Antigonus Ishtelchos. And then there were the four Zugos, the four pairs. The four pairs gave it over to Hillel and Shammai, the famous Hillel and Shammai. They're based in, right? They each had a based in, right? Based Hillel and Shammai. And then Hillel, his sons, his and grandson, his descendants, many generations were the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. So basically, it goes, you know, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, the last 100 years of basically the Shoshani, and then Yochanan ben Zakkai took the leadership position. He gave it over to Gamliel, so Gamliel of Yavna. So then it went, Hillel, Shimon, Gamliel, Shimon, Gamliel of Yavna, and then, from there, it goes, what do you call it? We skip to, well, so, Raman Gamliel is not going to keep over Raman Shimon Avid, the no shall Hillel. Okay. So then, Raman Shimon Avid, Raman Gamliel, Raman Gamliel, Raman Gamliel, Raman Gamliel,
Raman Gamliel, Raman Gamliel, Raman Gamliel,
right, so Gamliel had a son, Shimon, and guess who, so Gamliel of Yavna had a son whose name was Shimon, right, and guess who his son was?
Gamliel?
Nope. Yehuda.
Ooh, what's up with that?
Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Alright, so that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the grandson of Gamliel of Yavna.
We knew something was going to go wrong with that guy.
Okay, so the grandson of Gamliel of Yavna was Yehuda Nasi, and that's where the Masora takes an interesting turn, right? So, and that's but these are good things to commit to memory, because this is our Masora, right? And when you learn Mishnah, you learn Gemara, and these names are mentioned. In other words, it's a field of study. It's important to know how these people are related to each other. How do they, you know, how is one related to the other? In other words, when you start, the method of memorization is you don't try to memorize the whole list. You first try to pick out important facts that you want to memorize. So first you memorize that, and then you build on that the next level of memorization. As you build your levels of memorization by first picking out important facts, memorize that by finding interesting patterns, right? And then build on that the next level, right? Because for example, Rambam mentions the five students, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, important people to know who they are, right?
Who were the
what do you call it? Eliezer Gadol. Yoshua, Rabbi Yossi, a Kohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nasano, Rabbi Lazar ben Arachan, right? And then Rabbi Kiva comes in around that time, right? So, just showing you, it's very important, you know, there's certain ideas that you have to understand, and then there's certain knowledge, certain facts that you have to internalize in order to appreciate the Masora. The more you review it, the more you appreciate it, the more you begin to appreciate the ideas, right? Very important. In other words, also, you look at Pirkei Avos, right? Very important who gave the Masora over to whom, right? So, very important. So we'll stop there. I just wanted to give away that, those stats. Okay.